You're listening to the Cabinet of Curiosities. I'm your host, Sarah Troop. This week's episode, The Spook House.
Boy, don't you go in there! Come out of there, boy! Don't you know that house is haunted? It's an old, deserted mansion on an old, forgotten road where the better ghosts and goblins always hang out. One night they threw a party in a manor a la mode, and they cordially invited all the gang out. At a dark, bewitching hour, when the fun was loud and hearty, a notorious wallflower became the life of the party. The spooks were having their midnight.
Around 5 years ago, Steve and I sublet a little studio in a San Diego neighborhood so we could prepare for Comic-Con that year. I was delighted by our little section of the neighborhood, which had row after row of stunning examples of Victorian-era architecture. However, none were more compelling than the curious house on the corner. It was another year before we learned the story behind what the locals call the Spook House. Built in 1887 for Jesse Shepherd, who described himself as a world-famous mystic, seer, inspirational musician, and authority on prophecies, visions, and cosmic consciousness. Shepherd supposedly had no musical training and could not read music, yet he was considered a master of improvisation and could reportedly play any opera selected by the audience without music. After traveling to Russia in the 1870s, and becoming interested in spiritualism, he claimed to have been a silent co-founder of the Theosophical Society with Madame Blavatsky. It was then that he began his initial instructions in holding seances. Shepherd took up residence in the house, named Via Montezuma, which is filled with beautiful stained glass windows, gargoyles, bats, and towers. The house has 5 unique tiled-faced fireplaces, a special tower room capped by an arabesque dome, which he used for his study. The music room dominated the entire east side of the first floor of the house and included an attached conservatory. Shepherd held fantastical seance performances in the house, summoning great composers like Chopin and Mozart, and commanded them to play through him. He would then amaze the audience further by playing pieces and having other invisible, ghostly musicians play along, or to sing with a voice that sounded like an entire choir. Not impressive enough, Shepherd also performed a piece known as the Grand Egyptian March, and claiming to use only the piano and his own voice, Shepherd recreated a battle, complete with 2 opposing armies fighting. Of course, the house has built into it all the tricks a performance medium of the era could want, complete with secret rooms and panels, and passageways for the ghostly musicians to hide in. There are rumors that San Diego's high society shunned Shepherd, causing him to relocate to Europe and focus on his literary career under the name Francis Grierson. He returned to San Diego in 1889 and arranged to play a final performance in the Via Montezuma. Appropriately, Shepard's longtime companion and confidant, Lawrence Tonner, described this occasion as follows. It was a Sunday evening. We had a number of people invited for a musical recital at our home, about 30. A collection was to be taken up. Mr. Grierson had played a number of his marvelous, instantaneous compositions on the piano, and had given the company a talk on his experiences and impressions of France and Italy. He turned to the instrument and announced that the next and last piece of the evening would be an Oriental improvisation, Egyptian in character. The piece was long, and when it seemed to be finished, he sat perfectly still, as if resting after the ordeal of this tremendous composition. He often did that, but it lasted too long, and I went up to him. He was gone. His head was only slightly bent forward, as usual in playing, and his hands rested on the keys of the last chord he touched. There had not been the slightest warning. He had seemed in usual health, and he had been smiling and laughing with the company even a few moments before he passed away. Jesse Shepard was dead at 79 years old. People now say a terrible curse is laid upon the house and its owners. It is no wonder, after delving into the Via Montezuma's history, following the death of Shepard, and beginning with his sale of the house to what would be the next owner, David Dare. Soon after purchasing the house, Dare was forced to flee town. His business partner apparently had committed suicide before he left, and Dare was accused of looting the firm. He sells the house for $30,000 to an H.P. Palmerston, who was unable to make payments on it, and the house was foreclosed in 1893 and auctioned off for $18,000. The house then goes to Dr. George Calmus for the sum of $10,000. He goes bankrupt and leaves town, deserting his wife and leaving her with two unpaid mortgages on the house. Later, the grand Via Montezuma is taken full advantage of again by a Mrs. George Montgomery, who holds seances in the house. Then, incredibly, in the late 1940s, a treasure seeker purchases the house, convinced there is buried treasure to be found within its walls. The last resident of the house is a married couple. He, an engineer, and she, a retired silent film actress. The husband dies, and the house falls into disrepair. His wife, so distraught by his death, begins standing on the street outside the house, asking passers-by where her husband is. She is even rumored to have occasionally carried a gun, threatening people in her attempts to be reunited with her beloved. Of course, other odd tales are attached to the house. An unexplained fire burns the second floor in the mid-1980s. Neighbors and passerby report hearing orchestral music at night, when everyone knows full well there is no one inside. The ghost of a man who hung himself in a tower can be seen from the windows outside. Much to the wonderment of past gardeners, nothing will grow on a certain portion of land near a corner of the house. And a six-toed cat named Psyche has been seen on the grounds for far longer than any normal cat's lifespan. Thank you. To find out more about the subjects featured on the Cabinet of Curiosities, visit our website, cabinetofcuriositiespodcast.com. The podcast is now available on iTunes. Please share and enjoy. Thank you to Steve Troop for his assistance in editing the show. I'm your host, Sarah Troop. Thank you for listening.